نکیدن تعمقه تباستدن نکید جایگار پریمنا glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Back here in Munich, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 14, Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening, is text number 47. This is Kashyapa speaking to Diti, telling her about her. The good news is your son will be a demon, but your grandson will be a great devotee. describing the character of the yet to be born Prahlad Maharaj. Yat prasada idam
vishvam
prasidati yadatmakam sa sadrik Bhagavan yasya toshyate ananyaya drishya yat prasadat idam vishvam prasidati yadatmakam sasvadrik bhagavan yasya toshyate nanyaya drishya yat prasadat idam vishvam prasidati yadatmakam sa svadrik bhagavan yasya toshyate nanyaya drishya yat prasadat idam vishvam sidati yadatmakam sa svadrik bhagavan yasya toshyate nanyaya drishya
yat prasadat idam vishvam
prasidati yat atmakam
sasvadrik
bhagavan yasya
toshyate
nanyaya drishya
yat prasadat idam vishvam
yat prasadadidam vishvam
sasvadrik bhagavan yasya
toshyate nanyaya drishya
ladies,
lady
यत्प्रसादादिदं विश्वम्
प्रसीदति
यदात्मकम्
सर्वद्विद्भगवन्त्यस्य
तुष्यते
नन्यया दृश
यत्
by whose means the Lord, really, by the Lord, by whom. Prasadat, mercy of. Idam, this. Vishvam, universe. Prasidati, becomes happy.
Yat,
whose. Atmakam,
because of his omnipotence.
Just omnipotence here means all powerful. All powerful. Omnipotence. Omnipotence. All powerful. Yeah, you try. Try it up that way, then the meaning becomes clear. Huh? Omni is Latin, you know, all potency. Saha.
He.
Is the Lord. It's meaning the Lord. Capital H. English here.
Swadrik.
Taking special care for his devotees.
Bhagavan.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yasya.
Whose. Toshate.
Becomes pleased.
Ananyaya.
Without deviation.
Drishya.
By intelligence.
Translation. Everyone will be pleased with him. Meaning here Prahlad Maharaj.
Everyone will be pleased with him because the personality of Godhead, the supreme controller of the universe, is always satisfied with a devotee who does not wish for anything beyond him, meaning the Lord.
Excuse me.
Srila Prabhupada's purport. The supreme personality of Godhead is situated everywhere as the Supersoul, and he can dictate to anyone and everyone as he likes. The would-be grandson of Diti, that is the grandson that is to come, the would-be grandson of Diti, who was predicted to be a great devotee, would be liked by everyone, even by the enemies of his father, because he would have no other vision besides the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A pure devotee of the Lord sees the presence of his worshipable Lord everywhere. The Lord reciprocates in such a way that all living entities in whom the Lord is dwelling as the Supersoul also like a pure devotee, because the Lord is present in their hearts and can dictate to them to be friendly to his devotee. There are many instances in history wherein even the most ferocious animal, ferocious, you know, angry or powerful, ferocious really means like an animal, ferocious. Ferocious animal became friendly to a pure devotee of the Lord. Maom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Janani Divishesha Shri Vari Paschatya Desa Tarani Oman Gyanam Timaran Dasha Ganam Jana Shlakaya Chaksur Miritam Chainam Tasmai Sigara Ve Namaha Panchakalpat Rubyas Jak Vipa Sindhu Deva Chapatita Nam Bhavan Evio Vaishnava Evio Namo Namaha. Yeah, this is his characteristic. It's very interesting that because the Lord is satisfied with Prahlad because of his ananyaya drisha, because his intelligence is fixed on the Lord and therefore doesn't wish for anything beyond Krishna. Just wishes for Krishna consciousness and for the service of the Lord. So the Lord becomes satisfied with him, and because the Lord is satisfied, then everyone becomes satisfied. We also notice, so this is the position of the Lord, because he's that from which everything comes. Here he's mentioned Yaratma Kamp. Everything is his energies. He's the super soul. So on the one hand, when the Lord becomes pleased with somebody, then everybody becomes pleased. And same time, when someone becomes in love with Krishna and doesn't know anything other than Krishna, because Krishna is the, we can call him the universal individual, because he's the all-inclusive person. So when one doesn't love anything Krishna, it turns out he loves everyone. So this is actually the formula how to love everybody. You may notice that sometimes we have people who are trying to love everybody. They love humanity, and sometimes they engage in some kind of welfare work or something for humanity. But they seem to like humanity in the abstract. When it comes down to any particular person, then they have some problems. here, this is the actual way that we see how actually, although Prahlad doesn't wish for anything beyond the Lord, focused everything on the Lord, still he has this famous for being concerned for everybody. Swastyastu Vishvasya Kala Pasita Tami, praise to Lord Srinidhi. May the whole universe become auspicious. May all those who are envious become peaceful. May all living beings learn how to care for each other. And he prays like this to Nishinada. So he's a real well-wisher of everybody. Wants everybody well because of his love for Krishna. And because Krishna loves the devotee, because he's pleased with Krishna, then the claim is here, everybody is pleased. Now, and Prabhupada explains, yes, so he's the super soul situated in the heart of all living entities. And he can dictate to the living entity, you should be friendly toward my devotee. And so they become friendly because the Lord is all powerful, omnipotent. And Prabhupada says, There are many instances in history wherein even the most ferocious animal became friendly to a pure devotee of the Lord. Anybody remember any examples where the most ferocious animal became friendly to a devotee? Can you think of any? I can think of one, right? There's the story of who was it? Who was chanting in a cave? Was it Haridas Thakur? Yeah, so you know that story, huh? He was chanting in a cave, and his roommate or cave mate was a snake, a cobra. Now, snakes are always called envious. They're always known for this very, very angry, very easily disturbed. And they're dangerous because of their poisonous fangs. So there was a cobra in this cave, and he was getting along very peacefully with this cobra. The cobra did not disturb him. But people would come to his cave to associate with Haridas Thakur. They were upset. Oh, they're very nervous. This is big snake is here. And so he said, and so Haridas Thakur said, okay, well, I'm sorry he makes you nervous. And then suddenly the cobra uncoiled and went out the door. So that's one example where we see this. I think also there's a case with Raghunath Das Goswami and a tiger. There was a tiger, another example of a ferocious animal. And human beings are sometimes tiger food. This tiger also was near his bhajan kutir, but never bothered him. And of course, with Mahaprabhu himself, you know, all the jungle animals in the Jarikanda danced and chanted. It was even further. They were not only friendly, but they became his devotees. So Prabhupada says this, makes this claim, that everybody likes him. Of course, immediately we may have a doubt. Two doubts, maybe. Well, Hiranyakashipu didn't like him. Sometimes we see that we encounter people who don't like devotees just because they're devotees, almost. People that are demonic, are very deeply demonic, they don't like devotees. But then on the other side, we also see in the prayers to the six Goswamis, it says they were liked by everyone, those who were gentle. Sadhu, cultivated, nice people. And those who were not nice people, like criminals and people like, they liked them too. So both groups liked them. So, as far as Hiranyakashipu not liking Prahlad Maharaj, you can say also the Lord was dictating to him in his heart not to like Prahlad Maharaj. Because it is true, again on the principle of Krishna as being a universal person, a universal individual, that when people hate God, they start to hate everybody. It's true. They even hate their own selves. Because if you love Krishna, you love everybody. So the opposite's also true. If you hate Krishna, then you can't stand anything in relationship to Krishna. So the devotees who remind you of Krishna, you become angry at them. And furthermore, since deep inside, this is every living entity knows who Krishna is. We have forgotten by the covering of yoga maya. But still, sometimes you forget something, you're not aware of it, but still it's there. People sometimes have desires that they're not conscious of. Those desires control them, and they don't know why they're doing things, but there's some desire, some attraction, or some fear they don't know. But actually, people are in relationship to Krishna. And everything is in relationship to Krishna. So they can, when they become very, very antagonistic toward Krishna, just as love for Krishna spreads out to include everyone and everything, so hate for Krishna also spreads out to include everyone and everything. These people hate themselves too. You can see. So in that case, what about it? How is it that people are friendly toward devotees? Because the Lord dictates to them. Normally they wouldn't be friendly toward devotees. But the Lord dictates to them. And it becomes the nature of devotees that the devotees become attractive. Krishna is all attractive, and therefore devotees who are absorbed in Krishna also become attractive. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to go to school to learn how to be nice, charm school or attractive school. You don't have to get surgery or put on makeup or anything. If one is actually devoted to Krishna, then one becomes attractive. And even those people who don't like devotees, still they like them. I've heard someone say, somebody who was our enemy, they said, I'm against everything you stand for. You know, a modern person believes that rather common ideas from the 18th century that all religion is superstition, that just misleads the people, used as a tool of oppression, that religion is bad. And the things that we don't, social things that we don't care for, animal killing, don't care for abortion. So they say, oh, I'm against everything you stand for, and if it comes down to a political fight, I'm against you. But still, I like you. You're nice people. I've heard people say like this. I can't understand why I like you. Because you represent everything I dislike. So I've seen that. And actually, this is how we can. This is our secret weapon. Because Prabhupada has told us that not only does he want the Krishna consciousness movement to go on and survive, but he wants it to prevail, you know, to be on top. He wants that this movement shall bring in a golden age of Krishna consciousness within the Kali Yuga. This is something that's predicted in some shastra. This, people think it means 10,000 years of a golden age of Krishna consciousness. Yeah. And he wants us to bring this about. That means, or Prabhupada describes that this Krishna consciousness movement is meant for the re-spiritualization of the entire human society. When he says entire human society, that means not just this little part or that little part, not just the church part or the religion part, but the whole thing. But there will have to be big, big changes. And especially, we can see already that there are people who are opposed to the re-spiritualization of the entire human society. It would really hurt their economic interests, among other things. Since Prabhupada came to the West, when I first became a devotee, hardly anybody was a vegetarian. And everybody thought that it was absolutely necessary to eat meat, it was required for your health, and so on. If you were a vegetarian, people thought you were crazy. My mother thought I was going to die. Really, she did. And now she says, oh, your diet is so healthy. That's a big change, huh? Very, very big change. And so much so, this change is taking place that the meat industry is feeling threatened. So in America, at one time, the meat council or the something like that, some slaughterhouse advertising bureau office, that were putting advertisements in all the magazines, and showed some sports star or movie star, and that person pictures there, and it says meat, real food for real people, indicating that those who don't eat meat are somehow not human, not real people. So, you can see that this is very nasty business. Huh? This will come about. So I believe that the chanting of Hare Krishna is responsible for this growth of. I mean, other people are vegetarians, of course, who aren't devotees, and the big vegetarian societies aren't devotee societies. But actually, you'd be surprised at how many of the people who are active in these various vegetarian or animal protection societies have in some way been devotees or practiced Krishna consciousness or chanted Hare Krishna. I know some god sister of mine who was working for her at one of these groups, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and she said it was amazing, so many people there. Said, oh yeah, I stayed in a temple for 2 months at this time. I used to chant Hare Krishna. The people would come to Krishna consciousness and say, I can't
deal with everything, all this stuff, but at least this much. But then they go out and they campaign, you know, for this animal protection, animal rights, or vegetarianism. It's amazing. We have an effect we don't know, because we come into contact with so many people, and so many people are with us, and then they go away, but they go away different. And they change to some extent. And then they can do these kinds of things, upadharma, and so on, vegetarianism. That'll happen automatically. We don't have to do it. So this Krishna consciousness, it changes the world, and people who don't like this change will become enemies. But if although they're their enemies, when they know you a little bit, they like you, then it's very hard for them to be as mean as they could be. You understand? Even though they may fight you, they don't. Their heart isn't fully into it. Their heart isn't fully into it. So devotees actually are likable to people. People haven't liked us in many ways because we actually were not so confident that we are likable. And so sometimes in our dealing with the public, we pushed too hard and became obnoxious. But over and over again we have this experience that somehow or other somebody gets to know devotees and they always say, "I didn't realize what you were like. I had this image of you. I had some bad impression, or what I read in the newspapers, or this, that, the other thing. And you're not at all what I imagined you to be." So, the fact is that if we are absorbed in Krishna, automatically good qualities develop. Even if we're not trying to develop good qualities, they'll develop. Because Krishna is in the heart, and he cleans out the nasty things, and the false ego starts to go away. And then people meet devotees. You'd be surprised, in the material world you don't ever meet a humble person. You meet people trying to act humble sometimes. Well, they're not humble. Everyone secretly thinks, "I'm great, I'm the best." And the devotees, we don't care, we think Krishna's the best. We're little, he's big. The attractive qualities develop in a devotee. And actually people, many people become attracted to the devotees. Krishna's attractive, and then the devotees attractive. Prabhupada said like this. He said, the more, as it said in this verse, he says, the more you decorate the deities, make the deities beautiful, the more you become beautiful. So we stop thinking about ourselves and just think about Krishna. In the material world, people are always one sign of the false ego is not that we think about our this or that about ourselves, but we're just always thinking about ourselves. We're the center of the world. We're the most important thing. Maybe we're always worried, am I this, am I that, this problem, that problem. But actually, just think about Krishna. Forget about it. Krishna will take care of the other part. We have to make Krishna the center. Krishna is really the center. So we even forget thinking about ourselves or anyone else. But no problem, because Krishna is a super soul, and he'll take care of anything else for us. So that is how
how this Krishna consciousness will actually, we please Krishna, then Krishna will take care of everybody else for us. And there may be some really hardcore demons, of course, who will not become happy with the devotees. And so just like Prahlad, everybody liked him, but maybe his father. But his father was taken care of. Lord Srinivasa came and dealt with him. And Prahlad never had a bad thought for his father. It's amazing, huh, that his father's doing so many things. And Prahlad was always a good son. And even after he was killed by Nisringadeva, his first request is, please deliver my father. Even though his father was the king of child abusers, nobody was heavier than this. Okay, any questions or comments? Yeah.
Yes. When you're Krishna conscious, then you are attractive to people, or people look in you like, or myself, if I see everybody equal or equal, but I have a good relation, or I can treat them nice. But what about the situations when I'm really pissed off of somebody?
Yeah.
And because of this situation, I'm like,
yeah, that happens. There are times when it's appropriate to be angry, but we can use anger in Krishna's service, but we should not come under the control of anger. It's different. Yeah. I've seen Prabhupada really angry. Mostly I've seen Prabhupada angry at his disciples. But when Prabhupada, you see him become so angry, then it's finished and it just goes away. You know, it's done. And that's also, Prabhupada has been angry at non-devotees who have tried to block the Krishna consciousness movement. he was pretty heavy, you know. This Mr. Nair, he was the person who was the owner of the property we were trying to buy in Juhu to build the temple. And he turned out to be very tricky and tried to cheat Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada paid some money, then he wasn't going to get the property. You know, it was all complicated things. And Prabhupada really had to fight him in court and so many things. And he finally got the property. And then a few years later, Prabhupada received word that Mr. Nair had died of a heart attack. Prabhupada was happy. And then he wrote a letter to a devotee. And the devotee was very partial to one particular leader, and seemed to think that this particular leader was pure, but everybody else was bad. And so this is where Prabhupada wrote this letter and said, okay, he's a very advanced devotee, but so is him, and so is him. He says, all my disciples are pure devotees. And this is what he said. Prabhupada said, all my disciples are pure devotees. We are all going back to Godhead. There will be another ISKCON in the spiritual sky. This is where this statement came from in this letter. And then Prabhupada said, but Mr. Nair must stay. He was really angry. So you can be angry, but at the same time, if it's really The spiritual is not based on false ego. Then it will not control us. Actually, and it doesn't we don't become contaminated. And so we have to be careful about this. What Prabhupada told us, he didn't tell us, he was asked actually. It was in a television interview. And the person said to him, how would I be able to recognize a disciple of yours, a student of yours, a follower? What would be their characteristics or their qualities? And Prabhupada said, he will be a perfect gentleman. You will not be able to find any fault in him. That's what he said. So that's sort of a challenge, huh? Because you don't want to make Prabhupada a liar, huh? Do we? You don't want to make him a liar. His claim is that he will be a perfect gentleman. You will not be able to find any fault. Because Prabhupada is confident that his followers are those who actually practice Krishna consciousness. And then it says that one who does this, he develops all the good qualities of the devatas. They will automatically develop in a devotee who practices Krishna consciousness. So we have to do this because Prabhupada put himself, as we say, put himself on the line. He said, he told this man, be a perfect gentleman, you would not be able to find any fault. So we should strive to become gentlemen. And even when somebody one of the tests for this is when we are with somebody who's acting in such a way as to make us become angry. One of the qualities that a devotee is supposed to develop, a brahmana, and anyone who wants to attain bhava, this is mentioned as kshanti. Kshanti. Yeah. And Prabhupada translates this variously as forbearance or tolerance. But it means, very precisely, is not to become disturbed even when there's every reason to be disturbed. Somebody is being disturbing, but we are not disturbed. So this is kshanti. We should develop that quality. And if we are actually absorbed in Krishna, then actually, what can bother us? Krishna's there, everything's there, some little noise, some little thing is there. But usually the problem is that we have some false ego involved in the situation. We expect respect and we are not getting it. But of course we want to become a manina, not expecting any respect from others, right? Manata, willing to give respect to everyone else. So these are qualities that we are Prabhupada expected us to develop. Naturally, I mean, we can do what we can, but the main thing is that we shouldn't. To develop these qualities, we should simply develop absorption of the mind in Krishna. And then they will come. Otherwise, if you try independently of that to develop these good qualities, it's not so productive. Naturally, you should try. But, you know, I have a tendency to get angry, then I can try to do some things. Count to 10 before I open my mouth or something like that. But really, the real thing has to be we have to absorb the mind in Krishna. Okay? Yes.
I had a question to another subject.
Hmm.
It's told us that we should not eat food of corn and beans and dal and so on Ekadashi.
Hmm.
And it's told us that we become contaminated.
Mm-hmm. Contaminated.
Contaminated. but we offer on Ekadashi, in spite of that, we offer such meals to Sri Gaurita, to Krishna, on these days. My question is, how can I understand that Krishna Prasad should contaminate me?
Yeah, I don't believe you become contaminated. I think this is a mistaken understanding. How can Krishna Prasad become contaminated? Right. It can.
I cannot understand.
So that's not the problem. Because what's happened is there's a Ekadashi is also followed by, in India, by Karmis, followed to the Karma Kanda section of Vedas. And there it says that on that day, Papa Purusha, sin personified, takes shelter in the grains. This is from some Puranas. That sin personified takes shelter of grains on Ekadashi, and therefore you shouldn't eat, because if you eat, you'll become contaminated because of this, what's called Papa Purusha, the personality of sin.
Mm-hmm.
So this idea has been introduced into ISKCON. Prabhupada never ever said anything about this, but other people afterward have introduced, pull this out. It's in the Puranas. But then I ask the same question. Then how is prasadam full of sin? It's been accepted by the Lord. So that cannot be. Then in that case, if it's prasadam, we should be able to honor prasadam on Ekadashi. No sin. No, that's not the reason. For devotees, it's different. But Ekadashi is good to increase our devotion, it's a special day, honoring days like Ekadashi. It's these festivals are the mother of devotion. So our acharyas have said that we should follow, we should observe this Ekadashi vow, and so we do it. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. And so on that day we are supposed to decrease our material activities and increase our spiritual activities. At best, actually, best, we don't eat at all on Ekadashi. We fast completely. If I fast on Ekadashi, does that mean all the prasadam is sinful? No, I don't, because fasting is good.
Mm.
It helps increase, take our attention away from the body and its satisfactions, and dedicate ourselves more fully to Krishna. We even have one Ekadashi where special advancement is that if you don't drink water, some people fast means, not even drink water. Now, Prabhupada, these kind of, but that also can become karma kanda. You think just by fasting, just by austerity, I make spiritual advancement. Well, yeah, he also makes the heart hard. These austerities. So you see some people, they have some mystic power from fasting and so on, but they're not devotees. So Prabhupada has said that we should at least fast from grains and beans on Ekadashi. And that helps us to remember this is a day especially for concentrating on Krishna, to chant at least some extra rounds and so on like that. That's the reason.
But there's another question of how can we offer Krishna such food?
He doesn't go in. You think Krishna is going to get contaminated?
No, not that. But we cannot offer him such food with things in ignorance.
No, they're not in ignorance. I don't even know about the. Forget the Papa Purusha story. It's Sansam Puranas. Okay. Don't worry about it. Just forget it.
Okay.
Just forget it. But for Krishna, there's no such thing as sin. For us, there's sin. There's good and bad. There's dharma and adharma. For Krishna, there's no. Everything is dharma. He's different from us. So what the school children have to do, the teacher doesn't have to do. It's a different level. Remember that. All right, we should go now. I have to catch an airplane. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.